This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. There are some big deadlines looming down in Washington, D.C. The new Joint Congressional Budget Committee that Heidi Moore was talking about up in the wrap is supposed to come up with a mutually acceptable spending plan by mid-December. Another round of automatic spending cuts happens on the 15th of January. And it's not just lawmakers who are under the gun. The legislative calendar matters to interest groups as well, which means it's a busy season for lobbyists in the nation's capital. Marketplace's David Gura takes us on a tour of how influence is used in Washington.
We begin in the halls of Congress, in the Hart Senate office building. A new budget conference committee's recommendations are due on December 13th. Ahead of that deadline, lobbyists are pounding the pavement, or in this case, the marble.
The shoe manufacturers of America are going to have a great upsurge in their sales.
That's Richard Fiesta, a lobbyist for the Alliance for Retired Americans, a group that's against changes to Social Security and Medicare.
I think anyone who's concerned about issues or does lobbying is going to be in House and Senate offices very frequently and constantly over the next few weeks.
It's a short walk across Capitol Hill to the Cannon House office building. Christina Martin Fervita lobbies for AARP, one of the most powerful interest groups in Washington. This year so far, AARP has spent more than $4.5 million on lobbying. It's launched a seven-figure ad campaign that'll run in 19 states. Fervita tells me politics is a competitive game.
You know, time is the scarcest resource in Washington. It's always a competition for people's time and their attention.
But she's with a group most lawmakers can't afford to ignore.
We represent 37 million Americans. We definitely have an advantage when we call up and we say, we'd like 15 minutes of your time. We can usually get that.
Capitol Hill isn't the only place where you can connect with lawmakers and staff. We're at the Washington Convention Center, where the Association of the United States Army is having its annual meeting.
The mobility of threat launchers makes them hard to locate. And
this is just a massive floor of exhibits of a variety of businesses that support our armed forces.
That's retired General Guy Swan, one of the group's vice presidents. The convention center is filled with booths. There are tanks and helicopters. But Swan says the mood is different than it was a few years ago. Everyone is on edge.
Whether it's continuing resolutions, the effects of sequestration, the debt ceiling, all of that is kind of the undercurrent here at the conference this week.
This year, the group has spent about $200,000 on direct lobbying. This conference is another way for Swan's organization and for defense contractors in the military to tell politicians and policymakers that they're worried. On the schedule is a congressional staffers' breakfast with the Secretary of the Army and the Army's Chief of Staff.
About 650 people attend that, of which about 200-plus are congressional staff.
Afterward, they're led around the convention center to meet with companies and active-duty military. Our tour ends on K Street. Well, in an office on K Street. It's a famous artery in downtown D.C. that's clogged with lawyers and lobbyists. This is the Council on Competitiveness. It's a coalition of CEOs, university presidents, and labor leaders. Council CEO Deborah Wintz-Smith tells me it's a 501c3, a nonprofit.
So by definition, you know, we don't lobby, but we do educate.
Some say that's a distinction without a difference. Wintz-Smith meets with politicians. She testifies on the Hill. The council is also worried about sequestration and about fiscal issues, the debt, the deficit. Wintz-Smith will talk to politicians about these issues next week at the group's annual National Competitiveness Forum.
We have a number of members from Congress that will be coming both to our dinner in the forum and then senior administration officials as well.
It's all part of the expensive education politicians will get ahead of these two big deadlines. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.